Love the nouns. Love the pronouns. Impersonal and personal. Love the words. From ELFM.
Quando eu canto e a chuva cai.
So you're listening to Love the Words here on East Leeds FM at Chapel FM Arts Centre. But of course, we're not at Chapel FM at the moment. We're in different people's homes. In fact, four people's homes, five at the moment. Tony Macaluso is hosting this conversation, but I have with me Kimberly Campanello, Samuel Bird, Georgia Palfrey, and of course there's me. So that's five of us, and this is a wonderful thing. And are you all there? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Leeds.
Fantastic. So we're here to talk about Tenterhook, which is a rather wonderful anthology of writing that comes from the School of English at the University of Leeds. So first of all, Kimberly Campanello, I'd like to talk to you first of all about your role. Tell us what you do at the School of English.
Sure, Peter. Thanks for having us on. So I am the program leader for the BA English Literature with Creative Writing course in the School of English. So on this course, our students do a mixture of the study of English literature, but they also engage in creative writing in all the possible genres that you might imagine. So memoir, poetry, short fiction, prose, script writing, experimental writing. And so that's what I do, is I teach those modules primarily and supervise dissertations on that course.
Sounds great to me. And it's a course I would definitely have done had it existed, I think, when I was that age. But it sounds wonderful. So Kimberly, you're a writer as well. I know that.
Yeah, so I'm primarily a poet. I've published a number of poetry collections. I've been working on a novel lately, which is quite a bit of time has just opened up for me to work on that. And so I've been working on that as well. And I work with colleagues in the School of English who are part of the Poetry Center, which is another great element that we have at the University of Leeds, and really enjoy giving loads of public readings, including at Ilkley Lit Fest and other venues around the country and the world. I was recently in Munich representing the UK at the British Council's Visual Poetry Festival in Munich right before the lockdown. So that was my last sort of gig, and I do miss them quite a bit, but it's great that we can do things like this and come together and talk about writing.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about Tenterhook. Tell us a bit about Tenterhook and what it is.
Sure. So when I took over and began this course at the University of Leeds, I thought it was really important that students would have an opportunity to see their work in print, but also for that anthology to actually be a properly produced anthology with an ISBN and for it to be distributed. So it's distributed online at tenterhook.us. You can download last year's edition and this year's edition. And it's also held in the special collections at the Brotherton Library at the University of Leeds, which is quite special. So the word, the name of the anthology, Tenterhook, which, you know, your Leeds listeners may recognize, those of you who are interested in history, the whole focus on the cloth making industry in Leeds, and the tenterhooks were used to were attached to wooden frames called tenters, and these metal hooks would hold the fabric as it dried. And they were found all along the River Aire, and that's why we have Tenter Hill and Tenter Lane. We have bits of Tenter kind of spread out around Leeds geography. So I thought that was really appropriate. But of course, we've also got the more metaphorical meaning of Tenterhook, to be on tenterhooks. And Lord Byron, actually in his poem Don Juan, refers to this idea of writing and literature being able to put the reader on tenterhooks. And so it seemed appropriate both for the Leeds connection, but also for the creative writing connection.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, it's a very, I've seen it. It's a very beautiful, beautifully produced produced anthology, and with some really, really interesting writing. And is there a theme for each issue, or is it just people just contribute according to what they're doing and what they're working on at the time?
Sure. So first of all, I have to thank my colleague, Dr. Brett Greatley Hirsch in the School of English. He's a textual editing scholar, and he's the one who's done all the layout and all the design quite creatively. And I think listeners might, when they download it, they'll be surprised by that, and particularly this year's issue. So in terms of the themes, there's actually no theme. I do think that some of the pieces bounce off of each other quite well, but really this is a selection of work that students produced last semester. So I went through all the portfolios that they had submitted and chose pieces that I felt were really strong, but also really interesting, and that I think played off of each other in terms of form and content. So you'll find a wide variety of texts. You'll find some kind of science fiction pieces. You'll find some beautiful nature poetry. You'll find some really interesting engagements with more fixed forms. There's a couple of pantoums in there. You'll find some free verse. You'll find some sort of first-person prose fiction narratives. You'll find a really interesting memoir, and you'll even find a couple of script extracts. So there's a lot of variety packed into that small anthology.
Great. Well, thank you, Kimberly. We'll come back to you, but we've got two of the contributors here with us, and Sam Bird, and Georgia Palfrey. So, yeah, Georgia, tell us a bit about why you chose this particular course, this mix of literature and creative writing.
Yeah, so I always really enjoyed doing creative writing in secondary school, but they don't really focus on it much, and I don't think they see it as a very important thing to do. We had the odd bit of coursework, and I always really enjoyed doing it and put a lot into it. But I also have really liked the kind of analytical side and looking at classics and being able to write about that critically. And so it was really good when I was looking at different universities to see that there was a course available that combined the two, and I think it does it well in a very balanced way. I feel like I get to have a break from doing the critical side and engage with that more creative side of my mind, and get the best of both worlds, really.
Because sometimes people who do English literature degrees but also are writers or want to be writers, sometimes say they feel inhibited by studying literature, by having your analytical head on all the time when it comes to actually doing your own writing. Have you found that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that when you are analysing literature, you are appreciating it at the same time, and you're thinking about the ways that they write, and that it translates very well. And I don't find it limiting to just be analysing, but I do then want to go and put what I've thought and taken from analysing into doing something creative. So I think they both feed into each other, really. Yeah.
Great. So would you like to read us your poem? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So it's called Elephants. We don't talk enough of dreams and their strangeness. How we dance through dimensions 1,000 times a second, where clouds turn to dust, turn to pins that slice our feet, and nestled desires metamorphosize our cruelest fears, a butterfly born backwards. Behind the twitching whites, the dream master lingers, performing his shadow puppet ballet. He flips the world like a beetle, legs flailing, victims to spindly fingers. In this world, the colours are searing, blotchy, epileptic. At times we want to drown in them until they're drowning us. Anchors on our ankles, screaming, muted mouths. The elephants on my bed sheets remain oblivious, immobile in their delicate threads, nursing their own resentments of entrapment. Nobody knows what I'm seeing, and neither do I, 3 minutes after waking when I go to make toast.
Yeah, great last line. I enjoyed that. So Georgia, two questions. First of all, yeah, who are you reading at the moment that you most who you could recommend?
So when I was doing a lot of poetry last semester, I'd say that most of the poets I read, well, that one was very heavily inspired by Sylvia Plath. I also really like Adrienne Rich, Emily Dickinson, Elizabeth Bishop, and on the more novelist side, I think my favourite is Donna Tartt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just read the Goldfinch.
Yeah, I haven't read that one, but
Oh, it's fantastic. And all those poets, yeah, I totally resonate with your choices there. Good people to be influenced by, if you're going to be influenced by anybody. So what, in terms of publication, I mean, Intent to Hook, that must feel good.
Yeah, it's really gratifying and quite exciting as well, because you begin a course and you don't really think that you're going to get published much or at all while you're actually at university, and to actually have something like on paper and in print, and like I was surprised by the quality of it as well, and yeah, it's quite exciting.
And is writing something you want to do professionally?
Yes, I think so. I don't have like a structure in my head yet of how I'm going to do it. At the moment, I'm just trying to get bits and pieces published or submitted in competitions and kind of feel my way around more, but I think I would want to do it. Yeah,
well, best of luck with that, and you know, it's well, yeah, good luck, and the people who do it, we muddle through somehow if we want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kimberly would agree.
Absolutely.
So Samuel Bird, are you there?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us a bit about why you chose to do the course.
Yeah, like Georgia said, I think the idea of having English literature and creative writing as a course is great in terms of both go hand in hand. They supplement each other. I know definitely reading on the course has helped with my writing, but it's also important to know there's a distinction between the writer's intention and what we take from it. And I've definitely learned that on the course as well. So I feel like it's freed up my writing in a way, because it's allowed me to think no matter what I put down, people are going to interpret it in any sort of way.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So it's given you a kind of freedom in that respect.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
So what have you contributed? I know it's a short story, yes, that you've got in Tenterhook. Do you also write in other forms, or is short story mainly your short fiction, mainly your thing?
Yeah, I've been trying to try all different forms while on the course. My thing is actually screenwriting, so I'd like to write for the screen for TV or film in the future, but I've definitely enjoyed prose, and that's why I wrote all short stories for the portfolio submitted, which is where this comes from for the Tenterhook anthology. So yeah,
great. So could you read us something from your story? Would it work in an extract?
Yeah, definitely. I've got an extract here from the start of the story. Just to tell you something about what the story is, it's following an 8-year-old boy who's essentially trying to grow up too fast. He's a bit of an outsider to the boys and girls in his class, but that doesn't bother him. He thinks they're sort of snotty, grotty kids, and he prefers the adults of the world, in particular the new teacher that has joined the class. So yeah, this is from the start of the short story, and it's entitled The Enigmatic Miss McLaren. The chair in the rightmost corner of the middle groupings of tables was mine, a perfect spot in a classroom contaminated with other children. It provided the furthest shelter away from everyone else, with no one sitting directly next to me, and with lots of space issuing behind it. Through persistent research, I quickly learnt my tray was the most spacious, slightly deeper than the rest, and with the positioning of the windows, direct sunlight in the eyes posed no problem. In fact, from where I sat, my wonderful little spot, the morning shadows danced quite beautifully on my desk with each minute sway of the blinds. The other small creatures' constant chatter was something that couldn't be overcome, but I found that practicing any new piano piece by tapping my fingers on the table left and right accordingly was an apt escape. I was close enough to the board not to have to squint, and far enough away from the toilets not to feel slightly squeamish at alternating breaths. Of course, these were not the only reasons the rightmost corner chair of the middle groupings of tables was mine. It was not only these listed factors that made my spot so splendid. No, of course, there was also the enigmatic Miss McLaren. Being 8 years old does have its limitations. I can't drive, for example, or drink alcohol, or operate a chainsaw without supervision. Limitations. It can be frustrating. But instead of wallowing in the muddy water of self-pity like so many other 8-year-olds, I put my efforts towards what I am allowed to do. Chiefly, at the moment, piano. Daniel says if I keep at it, I can make it to grade 3 by summer. I never found the act of playing piano laborious. In fact, I can get quite swept away in my own little world as I play. I've also picked up a bit of writing, with thanks to Miss McLaren. Only journal writings, as follows here, and some poetry when I'm in the mood. I hadn't given much thought to literature before, but noting my sometimes dreamy-like disposition, Miss McLaren suggested it might be well suited. Now that I look back, it was perhaps that initial prompting that stirred something in me.
Mm. Thank you very much indeed, Sam. And is that your first published work, or have you published before?
I've not, no. It's my first published work, definitely.
So how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. It's nice to have something in print. It's a little bit daunting to imagine someone reading something that I've often written in the privacy of my bedroom. But that's something that I think is on the step to becoming a writer, getting used to the sharing what you've written.
And which is something you'd like to do as well as Georgie, yeah?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I'd like to see it in the future.
Well, all the best of luck with it. And who are you reading? Who do you admire at the moment?
I'll say the author I've read the most of is Haruki Murakami, the Japanese writer. I'm about to finish his most well-known book, 1Q84. I just really like his sort of weird stories. There's lots of magic realism. There's characters that seem somehow linked cosmologically but never meet. And there's just weird and wonderful characters. And I often write quite plainly. So he's sort of inspired me to put a bit of magic into the writing, I guess.
Great. Well, good luck both of you, Sam and Georgia, with your writing. And to come back to Kimberly, tell us again how we can get hold of Tenterhook, please, Kimberly.
Sure. So if you just go online to tenterhook.us, both issues can be downloaded there. There will be hard copies available once we can all get back in person, and there will be a launch, a physical launch. We had a digital launch last week with some readings from students on the equivalent of Zoom. There will be a physical launch as soon as we can get back on campus, really. So if you follow Leeds University English on Twitter, which is at Leeds Uni English, that launch will be announced, and members of the public are very welcome to attend.
Fantastic. And the best of luck with your own novel. How far are you through that?
I've got a first draft, which is something to work with, isn't it? So I think that was my aim for the summer, was to get to a first draft and then be able to play with it. And I think I'm going to have quite a lot of time to play with it, it's looking like. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, but none of us will have any excuses, will we, by the end of this?
Indeed.
Thank you so much, Kimberly and Sam and Georgia. Really look, I look forward to following your progress. And if the next issue of Tenterhook, or whenever you want to be in touch about anything you're doing, just get in touch with us at Chapel FM Arts Centre. So thank you to all three. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye.